Here it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight in the Southwest. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. You should see my face once we get this televised. I always have a big grin on my face before we start the show because I'm thrilled with my guests, because if not, they don't get invited to be on my show. And I have a very big grin on my face tonight because I am honored to have the pleasure of Mayor Jonathan Rothschild sitting with us here tonight. He is the mayor of the city of Tucson, and I'm very, very happy to have you sitting here with us to share what I feel is a very, very new ray of hope for our city and the things you're doing. So this is one thing where it's all about you, Mayor, and I get to ask the questions and you get to answer them. I love that it's a commercial-free show, and let's get right down to it.
Well, thank you for having me here, and it's a real pleasure for me as well.
It's exciting, and it comes through in my voice, obviously. So, and I'm a very informed radio talk show. I'm not the talking head, so I watch you. I know what you're doing with your team, and your scorecard is really looking very good as far as I'm concerned. So let's start with your 80-day plan. Could you do kind of like the Reader's Digest of what that was that you set out and laid out for the city and how you're doing?
Well, 180 days.
180 days, that's what I meant. I have that down here, 180 days.
80 would have been too short.
Right.
But the way it came about was when I ran for office, I had never been in the public spotlight before. And so we sent out a flyer to 20,000 people in the community. And we asked, what would you like to see for the community? And we got approximately 4,000 responses.
That's great.
Which was,
very high return rate.
Yeah, we were surprised. And so 4,000 responses, of course, 4,000 different things. But we really called it and spent some time with it, and it came really into four areas, which were jobs, safe and vital neighborhoods, transparent and open government, and then the one that I should not have been surprised by in our community, but I'm going to admit to you I was a little bit, was in card after card after card, people in this community got the environment. We heard over and over and over, we live in a desert, conserve water. We're in the Southwest, make this the solar capital. And one of our most prized resources is our open space, preserve our open space. So we took those...
That's music to my ears, well, as you can well imagine. And I know that was part of your plan. It's like, yes, people are awake.
Well, and it was the most pleasant surprise. I mean, did we get the... you know, kill Rio Nuevo cards and you know,
yes, I'm sure you did.
And a lot of things that were negative, but the positive was over and over and over people appreciating the need in our community to preserve our environment. And I actually think it's something that sets us apart.
I think Tucson's a really special place, highly enlightened, and I'm happy to be a part of it. So you set out the plan. Do you want to talk a little bit about each one?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay.
And we'll try to be quick about it.
I know, because time will fly.
Time will fly. But basically, on the jobs, we call it jobs and economic development. But what we focused on, of course, were city issues. And on day one, I hired a small business advocate, Maricela Solis.
Who's already done great things for one small business, I know, and she's wonderful.
Yeah, and it's just our commitment to the small business community, and she knows the community, she knows the issues, and she just hit the ground running.
She knows how to get things done.
Yeah.
So that's a really big plus.
Yeah, so she's great. And then people were complaining about the land use code, and not so much what was in it, but how it was structured and the fact that it had just sort of been layered on and layered on and layered on. And so in the first, even we're now at 5 months this weekend, we've reduced the code by about 20%, And it's really getting out the conflicts, the ambiguities, making it user-friendly, not so much the substantive changes.
Right.
And there may be some, but those will take longer, and we want to address those in the right way.
But the redundancies, just that alone, helps to just cut down on the red tape and make it more user-friendly for the small business person trying to make something happen.
And so people are happy with that. And then the amount of time that it took to get through the city for building permits, and I'm happy to report that we had a report last week, and we are now at, it's a little bit convoluted, but at about 84% of all permits from the day of application to a grant are occurring in 16 days. If there's a reason for a redraw or a rewrite, that's in 12 days. And we've gotten it so that everybody is notified either by email or telephone. And now, just in the last few months, you can go on live on the web and actually see where your permit is in real time and communicate.
So 2012 kind of communication for government. That's pretty impressive.
Well, we're getting there.
That's right. It takes time.
Let me just ask you this,
and you know that I don't want to ask anything to put you on the spot.
That's okay.
Why could you do that and help make a change when it was just front page news every other week about small businesses complaining about the permitting process? Was it inspiration? Was it adding new staff? Was it streamlining the process? That was a big one.
Well, I think that what it was, now remember, we ran for office for 9 months, close to a year.
Right, right.
And we signaled really to the city staff, these are things that we need to get done. And I talked to city staff while I was running, and I was, because I wanted to make sure there was some reality or some possibility.
Right, and not promising things you couldn't deliver on.
Correct. And they have actually been very receptive.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, and that I've been happy about that. And I think they like the energy that's coming out of the 10th floor.
I think they like the energy, too. It's a different feel when you walk in there. It's very, very encouraging.
Yeah, and first there were a few people like, who is this guy?
Right.
But I'm there.
There's been a shift.
But it's saying, let's get this done. I'm not throwing people under buses. Let's be constructive and get it done. And people like to succeed in their jobs. And they like, you know, in public service, it's about public service. And I'm finding, I can tell you that with almost out exception, the people at City Hall are really responding. And so we're getting things done.
And I just think sometimes it's so easy for people to bash government employees, and it's not fair. And Mr. Green is one of the people that says, oh, those government employees that deliver my mail every day at about the same time, and rarely does anything get lost. So it's at the city level. There are lots of good people there working really hard to make things happen. So that's encouraging.
Yeah.
So then the next part, so jobs, the permitting process for small business.
Well, and a couple other things, and you could spend the whole time on jobs, and I don't want to, but it really is at the core of it, because I have a very simple philosophy, which is that we need to have our small businesses and our larger businesses be successful, because that's the engine that creates the sales tax base so that we can provide the police, the fire, the parks,
improve our roads, which we'll talk about a little bit. We have to.
Well, we can hop right there,
right?
Because part of it was safe and vital neighborhoods. And when I was running, there was an issue with the 911 system, and I'm very happy to report that we shifted over the 911 supervision from general services to police and fire, which is really where it belongs. In just that command and that camaraderie. And the ability to work with the new technology, we've got the thing back up and running. And I've been to visit the facility, and it's doing great.
And it's working.
It's working. Now, you know, you talk about the employees. It's on two sides. There's a fire side and a police side. And I was there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday, and the fire side, which is really the response for EMTs or whatever it may be, or a fire. And the mayor's here and they could take their time and shake my hand and be happy that I was there. Right. And it was really a lot of fun. You went over to the police side at 2 in the afternoon on a weekday, and these folks are going nonstop on life and death situations, and their people's lives are in their hands and their ability to dispatch immediately, and you really get an appreciation for what your public service
60
do.
Seconds can be a life or death decision. Yeah. I know it's you really want them there when you need them.
Yeah. But potholes are not as easy. And we're making some progress. We'll see the budget, I think, from the state tomorrow, and there'll be a lot that we will not be happy with, I can assure you. But we worked long and hard to get our HERF, our Highway User Revenue Fund monies restored, and I think we're going to make some progress on that. So that will help. The problem is that it's been so long since we've had those monies with neglect.
Right.
And what I've learned is that, and I've learned a lot. I mean, one of the things I really love about this is if you want to learn, it's a great place to learn, not just about things like roads and environmental services and transit, but about the community. But one of the things I've learned about roads is it's like your teeth in going to the dentist. And if you don't go for a long time,
they rot.
And the cost is
far more than prevention. You know, and the thing that it brings up for me is that there's, in my journey of Mrs. Green, when you talk about energy, for example, just a little sidebar, people are looking for a silver bullet or to place blame, and there just isn't one. The roads didn't just wake up yesterday and have potholes in them, and it's not fun to play the blame game. It was challenging economic times, and the budget in the state was bankrupt. So I hate the blame game. What are we going to do today to make it a better tomorrow? And that's how I feel you're bringing the hope of that. Okay, that was then. This is now. What are we going to do about it? I'm a businessman. You, Mayor, are a businessman. Let's fix it, because we're wasting time talking about it.
Yeah, so the focus has been, and the first thing we've done, and we're going to have it done within 4 months, which is great, is we were able to allocate some money, not a lot, and it was actually a private-public partnership that started AAA Landscaping, and I love to plug them because they came to the table with the Chamber of Commerce, and we're going to have all our medians cleaned within 4 months, and we're already seeing that around town, and it's one of those little things that raises people's spirits. We're going to allocate more money, and we'll see.
AAA, another locally owned business.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really true. Pride in their city. They're a great company. Okay,
yeah.
Got that.
And then we're going to allocate more money next year and start the pothole cleanup. But we're going to have to look for creative solutions. We're going to look and explore even a general obligation bond. Not saying we're going there, but we're going to look at all the things because in the Arizona Daily Star, which can be critical at times, but they ran a really appropriate editorial the other day, said, bravo on the medians, onto the potholes.
And that's
what we're going to do.
It's really true.
You know, you got to do the basics first. And I'll tell you why now in this new role. I get to go to the airport and pick up new businesses, business people who are looking at our community. And I can tell you one of the things they're most concerned about is the education system. But as we're driving them out of the airport, if they see a ugly median and a row of potholes, it's not a good start.
It's not a good start. It's not, especially even if we just improve the road starting from the way out of the airport. I get it. Well, I really get it.
And that's where we started the medium program from. And that's how our focus is going
to
be.
Welcome to our city, plastic bags and trash and potholes. Thank you not so much. I mean, it's really, it is that. Which another sidebar, and we'll circle back, but small business. I would like you to go through your platform first, because I want you to talk about your view of supporting the local businesses and the small business owner and bringing in some new business that helps in a bigger way. So go ahead and finish.
Well, one of the things that we've put in and is basically, and this is from not requiring anybody else to do it, but as the city is the eighth largest employer in the region.
Wow.
And its budget is large. We'll be at about $1.3 billion this year. Now, a lot of that is federal money, and a lot of it is designated money. But with the money we have and go outside with, I'm a huge believer in local hiring and local purchasing. And we're looking at an ordinance for local purchasing. We've got our local hire up to 88%, which is great. So we have to continue those practices. But that's real important. And then there is not just the recruiting of the new companies, but the retaining of the existing companies.
Right, right. And keeping them here and growing it. I get it. Yes.
Yeah. So we focus on that. And the good news is things are definitely getting better. The pipeline for new business is getting better. Yesterday, in some comments I was making, you know, the First Lady was here. Our unemployment rate is down a point and a half in just the last 4 or 5 months. The inventory for real estate is decreasing, and home prices are going up. So it's not as fast as we would like, certainly, but we're turning things in the right direction, and we've got to keep them going.
And I was telling you this morning at my business group, Rosie Hoberline said, folks, there's good news for Tucson. And the inventory, I think she said it's down to about 4 months. And she said prices are good. Houses are selling. They had their best quarter than they have had in years for long. And that's a huge company here. And she just said, have hope. It's really, don't believe anything that anybody tells you other than we're moving in the right direction. And yeah, that's very real.
No, I think that's right. And then I would like, you know, it is Mrs. Green's show. I would like to talk about some of the things that we're being able to do in solar and water in particular. And I actually made some notes for this. But one of the things
Mrs. Green loves it.
But one of the things we've done is we've continued Congresswoman Gifford's Solar 101s.
Right.
And
we
pick those back up. And we've done two, but our second one was the 55th Solar 101 in this
And I've
community.
Gone to them, and I've presented at them, and they're well-attended, and it's neighborhoods, and people really come out and have great questions. So I was happy to see that come back. I think it's a really good move.
Yeah, and I'm really honored that the Congresswoman's office asked us to do it, and we were more than happy to do it. And if you get a chance to get out to one, you learn about the technologies, you learn about what you can do both at the residential, personal level,
right,
and
right,
the business level, and you learn about the financing, which can still be challenging. But
it's gotten so much better, even with the local companies being able to have their leadership of some of my favorites, you know, the Geo Innovations and the Technicians for Sustainability, having them partner with a bank to do leasing was huge.
Right.
So
right,
that's, to me, another big step forward. It makes it affordable.
Right. And so we're definitely getting there. The city, part of what the city needs to do is lead by example. And the city in just the last few years, and even the last several months, we've determined that all our new buildings are going to be at least at silver lead standard.
Yes, I feel like ringing the bell.
And we're actually getting to gold on some of these. And I'll tell you what, and the feds are doing, the federal government's doing the same thing. I've opened the new police lab over on Miracle Mile. We've opened the new DEA and the new FBI
buildings.
Which
I've heard is just absolutely state-of-the-art.
Well, the thing that's amazing about it is not just, you know, it's wonderful and you feel good when you're walking in and you're seeing your solar panels and you're seeing your water harvesting, but because of the way these buildings are designed for light, for sound, for open space, they create incredible working environments. And you walk into an FBI building or a police lab and you ask the people, what do you think of working here? And they're like, this is the best because we have light.
Green trifecta, I call it. It's a win-win-win. It really is.
Yeah.
It's great.
So we're going to continue to do that. And then the other thing the city has done, and it's just smart business. I'm going to tell you a story about again, someone you wouldn't expect, but is we're putting our solar arrays. I mean, the community center now has solar arrays. The Thomas Price Center now has solar arrays. Our big buildings, and I think if you go over to, it's the Gulf Links Library, they have a kiosk where you can kind of watch in live time.
I love that. I mean, there's one of those at the Habba store that Geo Innovation did, and you can watch how much is being saved, and they're just tied right into the grid. It's amazing.
Yeah, and so we're doing that. But here's a great story, and I guess I won't use the fellow's name, but he's a conservative fellow. And he's rehabbed an apartment complex at Grant and Swan, an old, old complex. So I'm very happy about in the center of the city,
right.
Going and rehabbing it. And he's, because he's a little bit conservative, he says, you know, Mayor, I don't know about this global warming thing, but I will tell you what. I've got solar, I've got insulated windows, I've got water harvesting, I've got all modern appliances, all, and he says, and it's amazing, I'm saving money, and I've got an apartment complex now that everybody wants to live in.
This debunking is that myth, I love it. So you probably have to tell me his name after, and he sounds like a great guest for Down to Earth with Mrs. Green from the small business perspective.
Well, and he will be, and he is totally bought in. You know, and then you'll explain to him the scientific facts, but you've got him on the business facts.
But, and it's not about, to me, it's if people really looked at it, it's debunking those myths. And in the beginning, there were inefficiencies, and so things did cost more. But it's now 2012, and it's like, people, don't be late to the party. There are ways to save money, and we can prove it. TEP can prove it with their solar calculator.
Right.
So they're on board. Okay, I love that about the environment. Now, water.
Well, water, the great thing about water is that the city basically has the water. And the city has been a leader for years in water conservation and
Agreed.
Water preservation.
Agreed.
And those policies we're going to keep in place. First of all, pretty good news. There was nationally a Mayor's Water Conservation Challenge Tucson, and so we tried to promote it. I guess we're not as social media. We've gotten into the social media world. We have Facebook.
Should have sent a message to Mrs. Green.
Well, we should have.
Next time.
We're not everywhere we need to be, but I can tell you we finished. And actually, when we announced it, it was interesting. We went out to the East Side New Water facility, which is a great facility because we only had one facility like this. Now we have two, which just in the idea of how far our service people have to travel is saving money. But all the TV stations came out. NPR came out. They led with the story. And Tucson finished sixth in the nation.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
So what are you unhappy about? I think that's a wonder.
Well, I wanted to be first.
That's good.
The good news,
I get it.
We were first in the state, and that big mega city to the north, whatever it's called, finished in about 94th.
I love it.
And,
oh my gosh, I love it.
And so
we're in wildcat country.
We
better just remember.
So, you know, but that's just part of it. One of the things, and you'll be very happy with this because I'm working with Watershed Management Group, and it's in the 180-day plan, and it was the one, and we're going to get it done, and we're going to get it done pretty quickly. We're going to have a study session, I think this Tuesday, on it to set the stage for it, is we are going forward with our roads, incorporate design elements both into the transportation plans and the development plans that basically allow for recapture of the water runoff.
Storm water.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in what I didn't realize, James McAdam of Watershed Management, and I will give him the props because he's a very bright
They're
young
an
man.
Amazing group.
Yeah. And it's not just that he has brought us these design plans, which we've run through our transportation people, and they're like, great, these can work. They're not particularly expensive. And what we do in addition is we can capture it in such a way is that we can use the water in part. I mean, a lot of it's going to recharge the aquifer, but we can use it in part to put vegetation, appropriate vegetation, in the medians along the sidewalks.
I was going to say, back to the medians. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's really the closing that loop and just having the water be wasted, which is, to me, that's our most precious resource here in the desert and globally. I mean, it's read about it and you'll find out. Yeah, I'm sure you know that. But if people really want to think about what's happening with water, lots of changes can come about.
And, you know, I mean, we are in a desert. And I, you know, and even when I go out and talk with the development community, and I want to see appropriately designed growth, but I tell these folks, I say, you know, without water, there's nothing. And we need to really focus on doing water right. And we're going to continue to. And there's, you've got that ethic that's at this point pretty deeply embedded in the City Water Company. And so
from the life perspective, from literally our life, it is to me the most important issue. They're doing a lot of exciting things at the U of A with organic regrowth of the mall and things like that. Okay, so the environment. And I know you're not going to believe this, but we have 5 minutes left,
which is really, it's,
I know, it just makes me sad because there's so much more. So briefly, can you talk about the role of social media and what you'd like to see happen? It's such an instant world that we live in, and there's definitely progress. There's a Facebook page, your newsletter, just getting a newsletter from you so that we can stay informed. I'm like, oh my gosh, what a concept. We're getting informed of what's happening in city government.
Well, I will admit to you that when I first undertook this, even the running, I'm a Luddite. And I have been forced into, in fact, I have my iPad. In fact,
very proud of you. We should have filmed it. I should be tweeting while you're talking.
Well,
I know.
We're tweeting, we're Facebooking, we have our email newsletter. We're using all of the social media. My communications director sent a email out today to a couple of my campaign workers who said that the paper notebook has died a natural death. And I, of course, whoever used paper, I don't even
understand.
That's
right. I mean, this big book I used to carry around, it was about 8 pounds. How was that?
And I was a little upset. I hope my paper notebook went to a farm somewhere and is happy. What's so important, and when we talk about transparent and open government, the role of technology and the role of social media and using those technologies to be able to communicate people,
yes.
And we're going to work on that at City Hall over the next year, getting our webpage again more user friendly, being able to get those messages out to people, because that is the role of government.
And not everybody is on board. So you have a huge challenge of getting, you know, anybody under 30, all they ever did was Google anything.
Right.
So you have those people who are our future. And then you have people like me that are pretty early to the party, but constantly struggling to stay up. And then there's masses of people that say, I don't do Facebook. I don't do that. I don't do this. So you have to, you as the mayor, have to please a lot of audience. There's a lot of masters to be served there.
There are.
You have 3 minutes, so let's, you get it. I want 2 minutes. Oh my gosh. Mr. Green's giving me the high sign. So can you just paint a picture of what you'd like the city to look like in four years? That's a great way to end. And I just want to say thank you, because we'll run out of time and I'll be saying thank you, Mayor.
Well, sure. So my driver for this change of life was and is to build a community where our children want to stay and can stay.
I so remember you saying that at some of the parties I went to.
And wanting to stay, the can stay is having a job. But the wanting to stay is our youth today, in every generation it changes a little. And they're very different from even us.
Yes.
You know, modes of transportation. You know, we were all about the automobile. They're all about alternative means of transportation. The modern streetcar coming, where 100,000 people live within a square mile of it. And it's going to take work. And as we get the community to accept it, now that in itself is such a big savings of fuel and just a lifestyle
and a quality
change.
Of life. And you know what? It was a great interview. I'm sure I'll have you back. If you just tuned in, what was wrong with you? What were you doing all this time hearing this great stuff? Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, for the mayor of the city of Tucson, will stay in touch, and I wish you nothing but the best. I'm part of your tribe.
Absolutely.
Mrs. Green's World is proud to be a part of the city and what you're bringing to it. So have a great green week, everybody.